Good morning. Very warm welcome to everybody here. As I was sitting and praying this morning, my heart just was full as I'm seeing all the university people still here and the high school kids. I'm so glad you're still here today. I know that come next week, it's a little bit of hit and miss to see you guys around, and you add much to our congregation. I'm so glad you're here, and you're welcome back anytime. Also, welcome to the rest of you who are here every Sunday, those who are visitors. Last time I was up here, I missed a significant welcome to guests. I'm sorry. Is there anybody today that we should introduce? Anybody have guests this morning? Not today? It's good to see each one of you here. Let's take a quick look at the bulletin to start. A couple of things that are not in the bulletin. I'll start with those so I hopefully don't forget too many. First of all, if you head over to your September birthdays, there's a significant birthday missing. September 16th is Jared Rempel's birthday. So if you're someone who keeps these things written down, please add that one. Hopefully we can get it into Hades' list. And then a happy announcement, another birth in our congregation. Sarah Gerling. Sarah, can you wave at us from up on the top, please? Had a little baby boy, August 22nd. His name is Ethan, and a happy little brother to Jack, his older brother. Everybody's doing well, so congratulations and blessings as you train your family. Then I think those are the only two that are not in the bulletin. If anybody has an announcement, I know Marilyn has one. Anybody else, would you come forward, please, and we'll get those tucked in also. Marilyn, do you want to start?
Good morning. Regarding next Sunday, it's Promotion Sunday, and we are planning an outdoor service just back behind the Youth Center here, weather permitting. So I would invite you to join us. Please bring lawn chairs, and if you can stay, we're planning a picnic lunch together. So if you're willing to contribute a salad or some garden veggies, or an ice cream topping if you choose. And we've booked a bouncy castle for the children. So if you can stay for the afternoon, we would love to have a day of fellowship. I'm very excited, and I feel very honored that my father-in-law will be our guest speaker. He has great wisdom to share, and I'm really looking forward to his words to us next Sunday. So please come and join us, and plan to stay for the day. There is Sunday school next Sunday. There is still Sunday school. Regular summer classes, and the children will promote to their new classes the following week on the 16th. So same classes for next Sunday, and adult classes are all taking place.
Good question. Is there any other questions pertaining to next Sunday? Awesome. Let's take a look at our bulletin then. First one is a note of thanks from Mr. Hildebrand's family, all of those of you who supported and encouraged and came out during the last couple of weeks and last Sunday. A note of thanks from the family there. A list of people to remember to pray for. I'm not sure if these are stuck in your head or not. Hopefully many of them are. I'm curious, is there an update on Kelly? I didn't get a chance to connect with anybody, but does anybody have an update on Kelly? Does it look like Jerry does? Okay.
I didn't talk to her personally in the last couple of days, but I was talking with Jake, and he had connected with her, Jake Falk, and she's at home and she's recovering, but things are going slow. They still don't have any answers as to what is going on with that or what was causing it, but it seems like the symptoms aren't quite as bad right now, and so they're hopeful that that will continue. So keep praying. Hopefully they'll find some answers and figure out what was going on. Thanks.
As some of these people have been in our bulletins for a long time, continuing on, sometimes we get a little more lax in our prayers. So just a reminder to really diligently and intentionally pray for all of these people on our list, those who are sick, those who are in care homes, those who are traveling. We'll do a little bit more with Andrea a little later in the service this morning. Those who are serving in other countries, family and friends who are out and about. I'll just encourage you to keep praying for them. On the next page, under church announcements, a reminder to those of you who have been working in camp over the summer, the Education Committee would like a short description, a short reflection on how your summer has gone. And then there's a note from the Music Committee. They're looking for pictures for the Prayer of Fall Songs of Praise service. And the deadline, I noticed, is September 23rd. That'll come before you say too many things, because it'll come here really quick. So if you'd like to send some pictures, I think they're looking to put a PowerPoint of pictures together. There's a couple there to read for yourself, and then on the top of the next page, the Mexico missions trip. Jerry's begun organizing that. Sounds like a fantastic experience. Anybody who's interested in going out, I'm sure that Ryan will have work of many kinds. I have not been able to go in the past. I'm always a little jealous when they go and when they come back, because there's such an incredible experience, so much team building and positive things that they're doing together with Ryan. If you're at all even sort of interested, talk to Jerry or Jake or Grant and Glenda or Ray and Shar, others who have been there. I'm sure that they can give you some encouragement and give you some perspective on how things might be out there. Marilyn mentioned Promotion Sunday. And then on the back of that page, just a reminder to the youth that youth programming will start again soon, and take a look at some of the options, some of the dates there for you. Anything I missed in terms of announcements? All right. I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to Mark 5. It's the passage that Jake will be preaching on later. As I took a look at this passage during the week, one of the things I noticed is how many different kinds of people come to Jesus. In verse 21, I'm not going to read it now because Josh will read it later, but in verse 21 it says there was a great crowd who had gathered. We have a crowd of people here, maybe not very great, but we have a crowd of people here. Verse 22 says Jairus, who was a synagogue leader, came to see Jesus, and he comes begging for healing for his daughter. Verse 25, there's the woman who pleads for relief from her hemorrhaging. Verse 35, there's some of the people who are in the house, or who come from Jairus' house, and they have a message for Jesus. Don't bother. She's passed away. Never mind. Then in verse 38, Jesus comes to the house of Jairus, and he finds a tumult of people. And I wondered, what does that mean? All of these different people come to Jesus. They come with different agendas. They come with different experiences. And I'm curious, where do you find yourself today with Jesus? Do you fit into the story somewhere? Are you somebody who's pleading for health for a friend or family member? Are you the woman who is ill? Are you someone who's in the crowd, kind of lost? Maybe today's a cheerful day. Are you hiding? Are you an average kind of normal sort of day person today? Are you alone? Are you thankful? In Matthew 11, verse 22, that's not right, Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus himself says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to me. Jesus invites us with open arms just to come. As a congregation this morning, we're invited to come to him, to worship, to bring our cares and our joys, and just come this morning to be with Jesus. Please pray with me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence here this morning. Thank you that you are the Almighty God, the healer, sustainer, protector. the God who longs to give us rest and strength. Thank you for this invitation to come, to be open and honest about where I am at. You know that better than I do. You know us better than we know ourselves. We want to come to you to be touched by you this morning. Please speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Kendra and Tyson and Caleb, please.
Good morning. I'm feeling pretty like I'm going to cry soon, and I don't know why, so pretty vulnerable right now. God's feeling really close, and he's just showing me that. Something he's been teaching me the past year would be that he is a fountain of living water, and he is like where my life comes from, where my strength comes from, and I need to keep going back to him in order to be able to live, pretty much, if I want to truly live. And so I just want to invite you to stand right now. I'm going to start with this verse. It's from Psalm 28, verses 6 to 7. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I was helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and with my song, I will thank him." Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, all kings, nations, with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. You turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God who are higher than any other. Our God is healer, he's awesome in power. Our God, may be seated. I'll invite the ushers to come for the offering. Yeah, she just told me. And feel free to sing along if you'd like. And all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, "You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. And all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, "You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. One more time. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Please pray with me. Father God, you are worthy of it all. You deserve all the glory. Thank you. Thank you for these many gifts this morning. Thank you for the amazing bounty that you continue to give us. Thank you for health, relationships, family, protection, and safety. This morning, Lord, we bring to you those of our families and our congregation who are not here with us this morning. We think of those who live and serve in other places around the world and close to home. Those who are in care homes, those who are sick and on vacation, those we'd long to have with us here. Father God, many of our families are in transition this week. Some of us are affected by the start of school again. transitions of the loss of loved ones, of marriage. Lord, care for our anxieties. Walk with us as only you can. This morning we think of the start of clubs, youth ministries, Sunday school programs, and we pray that you would send workers for these various programs. Please bless us with wisdom and guidance and direction as we make decisions around various ministries within the church. Thank you, Lord, for your overwhelming love to us. Thank you for knowing us better than we know ourselves and for touching us where we need it most. We love you, Lord. Amen. I'd invite the worship team again, please, and then Jerry, please.
The next song that we're going to sing is very special in my heart. There was a time, like a few months ago, I would say, I was just in a pit, not a pit of doubt. I like to say I was in a pit of doubt, but I wasn't quite in a pit. But it was, I remember I was just doubting a lot of things, like, is God really going to do what he said he would? Like, does he really have good things planned for me? Like, is he really, like, that good to me? And then I remember one evening, he's like, just go read whatever. I was reading in Matthew. He's like, just go keep reading. Like, there's something in there for you. I'm like, okay. And then I went, and then it's just like, you know, he can read a verse and doesn't mean anything, but all of a sudden you'll read it a different time, and then it will mean a lot. And it was just the one that I've read so many times. Like, what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? And so I invite you to stand. We're going to sing Good, Good Father, and just like, you can rest knowing that he's a good dad, and he's going to take care of you, and he's not going to give you a stone if you're asking for something else. Thank you. Awesome. And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
So this next song is a new one, but it's, I really, really like, I really love it. It just is like, I just like declaring what Jesus has done, and I don't know. And like the one line, it says, who are you, great mountain that you should not bow low? Just like saying to whatever is in front of you, whatever mountain or whatever battle is in front of you, that who are you compared to like God? Like you have to bow down. Like there's no other choice. And so, yeah, just either listen or sing out once you get the hang of it, or if you know it, that'd be awesome too. So, yeah.
He is my faithful Father, calling me out of the dark. The night cannot whisper away what he said in the light. He is my firm foundation, my anchor won't be moved. Storms may collide, but my soul is on fire with his word. When listen to the sound of power on my lips, Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Oh, who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. He is the only healer. His love will never fail. And all my belief dares to defeat every lie. He is a strong high tower. Fear will not find me there.
I come alive with his promise inside of my heart. We'll listen to the sound of power on my lips. Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Oh, who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. Christ Redeemer, we remember, he has won the war. Jesus, mighty overcomer, our defender has conquered. Christ Redeemer, we remember, he has won the war. Jesus, mighty overcomer, our defender has conquered. We'll listen to the sound of power on my lips. Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Oh, who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. He is my faithful Father. He's calling me out of the dark. The night cannot whisper away what he said in the light. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes. He's riding on the clouds. He's shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes. He's riding on the clouds. He's shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Good morning. All right, so now is the time in the service where we sing silly songs. No, I'm just kidding. Today we're going to have a prayer time for Andrea, and so we want to send her off as she's headed out to Hawaii this week, and maybe she wants to share a little bit about what's happening before we pray. Would that be okay? Like a minute or something? So I'll invite Andrea up, and then once she's done telling us a little bit about what she knows, then we'll invite everybody else who wants to come up and pray for her to come on up, and then we'll pray for Andrea.
Good morning. I don't have a whole lot to share because I don't actually know a lot of what I will be doing yet when I get back to Kona, but I do know I will be going back to work with a ministry called Respect the Corners, which I told you about several months ago. And so we use CrossFit as a platform to share the gospel and to connect with people, to connect with the local community in Kona, but we also send teams of athletes out and coaches out to different nations to work in CrossFit boxes. We currently have coaches in Nepal and in Jordan. And so it's pretty cool. I have two friends who are working as coaches with Muslim athletes. And so they have two Christian guys. They're from Samoa, and they're working with a bunch of Muslim athletes doing CrossFit, and then through that, able to build friendships and relationships and hopefully share the gospel. So we also, our ministry also works with discipleship training schools, which are those six-month schools I've talked about. So we have tracks involved, like CrossFit tracks within those discipleship schools. So I'll also be helping with that. What my role will be specifically, I'm not sure. So I was talking to some of my leaders, and they said, let's just get you here, cross the border, pray that works out well. That's what I'm most nervous about right now. Once you have one bad experience, you kind of expect it again. But yeah, they said once I'm settled, we'll kind of figure out a role. Some things have kind of changed. They always do. Things are always changing there. So we'll figure out more. And once I'm more settled into my role, I'll send an email update to Haiti. And I think she has people's emails, or they make an announcement here or something like that. Then you'll have a better idea of what exactly I'm involved with. So just wanted to thank you again so much for all your support. And I realized, like, the second time this year that you're praying me out. And hopefully this time I'm not back in 2 weeks. but I appreciate how much you care, how much I know I'm supported in prayer and finances from this church, and I honestly couldn't do it without any of that. So I'm humbled and grateful that you're willing to stand with me and support me in this, and thank you.
All right. So if you'd like to pray with us for Andrea, please come on up to the stage. All right, I'll open it up. Heavenly Father, thank you for Andrea. Thank you that she has said yes to you. And thank you for the places that you're bringing her. God, I pray over her whole situation that you would give her peace and that you would be present in the whole process. Show her where you're taking her and reveal to her what you want to do through her.
Lord God, we thank you for willing servants like Andrea. We are thankful that she's an example to us of being willing to risk it. We thank you for your ministry, Lord, in this world that has so many different venues, so many different avenues, so many different ways of doing it, and that we, each of us, has called into a specific way. Thank you for Andrea's willingness to go out and serve, even into somewhat of an unknown situation. We pray for guidance, we pray for courage, we pray for joy, we pray for your peace, even as she crosses borders that make her nervous right now. Would you calm her, and would you hold her in your hand, and that she knows this is from you.
God, we know you don't make mistakes, and so we trust Andrea to this program too.
Father, thank you that you are a present God, and that you promise your presence to Andrea. Thank you for her obedient heart and her spirit towards you, her submitted spirit. And yeah, we have a lot to learn. And it spurs us on to consider our yes to you in the places of influence that you've placed us. Father, go before her. And I thank you that you've used this past season to teach her and reveal things about your heart for her. And I also thank and bless Bill and Mary for the way they've chosen to bless Andrea, and they're intentional choosing to encourage and cheer her on and pray for her, and I pray for your blessing upon them too. And we're grateful for Andrea's place in your kingdom, and I pray for much fruit to come from this next season of her work.
Father, this summer we've been hiding in our hearts the words, whom shall I send? And our answer should be, here I am, send me. And Andrea's living that out. So, Father, we ask your blessing on her as she steps out for you. We ask that you would give her an ever-increasing love for you, for your people that she will encounter, and just draw her nearer and nearer and nearer to you day by day as she serves. And Lord, for those who don't know you, who will work alongside her and with whom she'll work, Lord, prepare their hearts to hear the message of the gospel.
Thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you've gone before, you're going after, you're going alongside of Andrea. I pray, Father, that you would give her your presence, that you would calm her heart, and that she would, without a shadow of a doubt, know that you are there with her, whatever the situation, wherever she is. And in those moments of anxiousness and anxiety and moments of doubt, Lord, I pray that she would be reminded in a very real way of your presence. Thank you again for hearing us, Father. Amen. Josh, do you want to come do Bible reading, please?
When Jesus had again crossed over by a boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people are crowding around against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother teaching anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She said she was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
I want to start this morning off a little bit differently. We haven't done this in a while. I would like you to stand and greet each other as you are able around you, please. Now I want to ask you a question. Why did you shake that person's hand? I never instructed you to shake that person's hand. I said to greet them. I saw quite a few hugs. I saw lots of handshaking. I saw a few knuckles. Why? Anybody want to venture a guess? Anybody have an answer? Why did you do that? That's how we greet people. It's more personal than just words. What is it about touch? We explored this a little bit in Sunday school this morning, and Lauren and Shania are grinning at each other here. They know where this is going. What is it about touch that we strive for? You may think you have your personal space around you. I know some of you do have some fairly large personal space. Some of it gets encroached somewhat frequently. What is it about touch, though, that we strive for as a human being? We explored numerous scripture passages in Sunday school this morning, and we want to look at this one that Josh read. Thanks for that. There's a lot of touching going on in this. If you read Luke's account of that story, he actually says that the people were almost crushing Jesus. So for him to turn around and say, "Who touched me?" was kind of like, duh. Like, what are you asking, Jesus? Like, what do you mean, "Who touched me?" But it's an interesting story. We have two interesting stories tied together in this story. We have a habit of touching. I got a punch from Caleb in the chest this morning. That was his way of greeting me. There you go. Now I know Caleb's around. There's certain characters like that in this church that I know when, oh, if I get a whack in the shoulder, Joe must be around. If I get Caleb around, that's what I get. I know that these guys are around. This is what I expect. This is touch. This is affirmation. Whether it's a high five, knuckles, a punch to the shoulder, handshake, or a vigorous hug, we love touch. We need touch. We know it's a love language, along with words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, and acts of service. It's something we just do. Whether we like to admit it or not, we need each other to confirm what I do and who I am. In this scripture here that Josh just read, we have two stories that seem unrelated and yet not, mixed together. We have three main characters. Let me set the scene a little bit. There's Jesus, the common one character to both of those stories. Then there's Jairus, the synagogue ruler. At least he's named. Thirdly, we have a woman. No name, no nationality, no nothing. Just a woman, although quite probably Jewish. The latter two are seeking the first, Jesus. And as always, Jesus is available. Jairus is obviously well known. He's a member of society, somebody that you look up to. He's the synagogue ruler, leader, obviously. So obviously he's a man of position. But before we go too far into this, I want to set the stage a little further. Jesus is relatively new into his ministry, but already quite well known. In chapter 1, verse 21 to 28, this is all Mark, he rebukes an evil spirit and it has to leave. There's authority there. This happened in church, in the synagogue. In chapter 1, verse 31, he heals Peter's mother-in-law, who then waits on him. In chapter 1, 32 to 34, many people come to him to be healed, and many demons are driven out. In chapter 1, verse 40 to 41, he heals a leper. In chapter 2, 1 to 11, is the story of a man lowered through the roof by four friends to have him meet Jesus. There was a strong belief in society of the day that physical illness and sin were closely connected, and we can look on that on Job chapter 4, verse 7, and on there. Jesus challenges this train of thought with this friend lowered through the roof by saying, that your sins are forgiven. There's a saying that the rabbis had in those days that there is no sick man healed of his sickness until all his sins have been forgiven him. So how can Jesus say your sins are forgiven you when you're sick? That doesn't work. So Jesus' statement that the sins are forgiven, and then following that with pick up your mat and go home, pretty much alienated him from Jewish leadership. In chapter 3, 1-6, Jesus heals the man with a shriveled hand. And in verse 6, the Pharisees and the Herodians now begin to plot how to get rid of Jesus. This is only Mark chapter 3 yet, and they're already at odds with Jesus. All this to say that Jairus likely went against common wisdom to go to Jesus to ask for help. Synagogue leaders were closely associated with Pharisees, with the leaders of the law, and they didn't see eye to eye with Jesus, so likely Jairus should not have gone to Jesus for help. But he did. The Pharisees did not like Jesus because he threatened their comfort zones. He encroached on their personal space. He touched them where it hurt, where it offended. Romans chapter 1 in the Message has an interesting read. It says, "Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently." We could all learn from that verse. Jairus approaching them, Jesus, would have very much challenged the authorities of the day. Does it challenge me? It sure should. Jesus cleared the temple, if you want to use that phrase, if you will, in many ways. The bulletin didn't restrict him. If we follow these miracles, we realize that tradition seemingly had very little room for Jesus. He was constantly pushing the boundaries. And so Jairus would likely have known that his position, his job, his future were likely on the line by going to Jesus. Isn't it a little ironic that the father leaves the bedside of his little girl to seek help? She is literally at death's door. Matthew actually says she was dead. Luke and Mark say she was dying. So why not send a friend? From the Message that Harley spoke a few Sundays ago, we know that works. The centurion didn't go to Jesus. He sent somebody else and it worked. The sick friend or the sick servant was healed. So it's not like he has to go there personally. Could it be that he's acting completely alone in his household? No family, no friends to back him. They all like Jairus, the synagogue ruler. That title has a nice ring to it. Is Jesus a threat to this family? But Jairus seems to be different. He is bound and determined to seek the touch of Jesus. And he is willing to risk it all for his daughter. And he does. Jesus complies. He comes into a chaos of mourning, a wailing racket, only to say that the girl is sleeping, which only isolates him even further. But in the midst of this, we have a woman. As we read, Jesus is crowded by people, crushed, as one version has it, and pressed in another version. For this woman to approach Jesus took determination. When Kirsten and I were in Europe with the MCI team a few years ago, a French tour guide, may I ask, in Paris, said to us, "If you want to get anywhere in France, you have to be elegantly assertive. You have to be French," he says. And we wondered, okay, what does that mean? He says, "You elbow your way through and you stand your ground. You do not let people cut in on you. You just be rude as you're saying, 'I'm sorry.'" but elegantly assertive. That term stuck with me. I think this woman was just that. She was elegantly assertive as she tried to make her way through the crowd to Jesus. With grit and determination, she makes it to Jesus' side, wanting only to touch him in secret. But before, again, we go any further, we have to backtrack a little bit on that one. Why does she want to quietly touch Jesus? Why not ask him, as Jairus does, comes and asks him? I think there's a few reasons for that. One, she's been bleeding for 12 years, which means that according to Leviticus chapter 15, if you read that chapter of Leviticus, she has not been to see Jairus in his synagogue for those 12 years. She has been continually unclean and not allowed in church for 12 years. She is forbidden to go to church. She is permanently unclean, and anything she touches, or anybody who touches her, is unclean. So what you did here this morning, touching and hugging and punching and fisting and high-fiving, now makes you unclean. You were not allowed to touch that person. You were not supposed to touch that person. That doesn't work in our society. And it didn't work for that woman either. So any guesses as to how many friends this woman would still have had after 12 years of not being able to touch anybody or have anybody touch her for fear of getting of being unclean and having going through the ceremony of cleansing? My guess is pretty much zero. No friends left. Or secondly, I believe it's fairly safe to say that her bleeding is an embarrassment. Who would like to publicize that? We tend to not want to make a big deal about illnesses and often only find out about somebody else's illness much later after it's all over. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to ask for help. Or thirdly, could it be that she was trying to do this quietly so as not to contaminate Jesus, not to make him unclean? After all, if he doesn't know that he's been touched by an unclean woman, then he can still go to the synagogues. That's where he belongs, right? Whatever her reasons, she did it quietly and got healed, which she noticed immediately. But then Jesus turns around and asks, "Who touched me?" The disciples are astonished that Jesus even asks the question, "What do you mean, who touched me?" How can you ask that with all this jostling around here? We have all touched you. But he is insistent and keeps looking around. And she is wondering, does he know? Does he know it was me? Finally, this woman comes forward and spills her whole story. Every unclean, embarrassing detail. Which frees her from it all. Isn't that what confession is? Laying it at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus responds, "Go. Your faith has healed you. Peace and freedom are yours." There is something that can happen only when we confess. As long as we hold back, the healing cannot be complete. She is fully restored. Meanwhile, back at Jairus' house, after having been told not to bother the teacher any longer, Jesus arrives. And I find it ironic how quickly the news comes to not bother the teacher anymore. She's barely passed away, and already the news is there. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Let's rather not have Jesus come into our house. It might affect our society, our circles. We have an interesting array of events. Loud, professional mourners are at work. This is their job. Their job is to ensure that everyone knew that death had come. This death was completely hopeless. No hope of a future seeing them again. It was a final and forever separation. So these mourners beat their breasts, tore their clothes, and draped themselves over the dead body, all the while wailing loudly. This is the scene Jesus arrives at. And we wonder at his comment that she is sleeping. Did he think that people didn't know death? was he inviting them into a new era, one in which death was not the final step. There is a future beyond death, he seems to say between the lines, but they refused to see it and went from mourners to scorners like someone threw a switch, from crying to sarcasm, from bereavement to insulting, in a blink of an eye. What a change. Jesus walks in with only a few people and raises the little girl back to life. I wonder what the scene was like outside when they saw her. We can only imagine. Could it be that all the insults, all the judgmental thoughts, all the contempt came to a screeching halt? Was there not a single soul that celebrated the touch of Jesus, that came to repentance at this event? No one who saw the wrong they had been in? Was Jairus the only one who's had faith? So we have these two people who came to seek Jesus, or to Jesus seeking his touch. I find no record of them ever mentioned again. Jairus, his daughter, and this woman all fade away into history. But I would like to believe that they were changed. Jesus' touch had affected them deeply. We know that the woman was healed, and still Jesus asked, who touched him? The question is, why was Jesus asking? Was it that confession that I mentioned before? Could it be that her soul was only healed after that? She came and knelt at Jesus' feet, telling the whole embarrassing story. Confession time. When have I last done that? The woman came as a last resort. She came after having spent everything she had. Maybe it was because Jesus was still fairly new to the scene. Maybe she hadn't heard about him before. Or maybe she had to travel some distance from where she was to meet him. Whatever the reason, we do not know. But we do know that she came. There's an opportunity and she takes it. As the saying goes, better late than never. Is that our mentality about Jesus? Do we come only as a last resort? Or is he our first option? I remember when Walter and I, along with a bunch of other guys, were in Querétaro, Mexico, on a children's ministry, or on a ministry opportunity at an orphanage. We went up into the mountains to do some clothes distribution, and a child fell off a cement wall onto a cement floor, and we heard the crack in the midst of a room, and we thought, oh, this can't be good. And so us North Americans, we're thinking, okay, so how do we get this child from here to the hospital? What's the best way? Who's going to go? And we were in the midst of processing that, thinking that, when all of a sudden realized that this whole crowd of room was in full prayer. That was their first response, was prayer. We were thinking, who's going to go and how are we going to get? Like, we were already rushing. And everybody stopped and prayed. And we thought, wow, there's a lesson for us. Jesus is their first resort, not the last resort. We don't explore all other options and then come to Jesus. They did Jesus first, and then let's see what else we go. 10 minutes later, the little girl was running around like there was nothing wrong. Miracle? We cannot and should not want him at arm's length, available to us when and if we need him. He wants to be in our personal space. We shouldn't be able to so much as blink without bumping into him. Every turn of the head, every step, every thought, every word, whispered or out loud, should be heard by him. And we know that it is. We pretend that we can isolate or insulate ourselves and have the before-mentioned personal space. With God, there is no such thing. We are thoroughly known. Every aspect of us. David knew that and states it with conviction in Psalm 139. I believe the woman experienced Jesus very differently than what she expected. It was only after Jesus invited her into telling him and the whole world her entire messy story that her healing was complete. She was healed physically before, now she is completely healed, mind, body, and soul. When Jesus announced to the world that this unclean woman had touched him, we can only imagine the crowd's reaction. But instead of having made him unclean by her touch, he made her clean by his touch. She didn't contaminate him. She isn't capable of it. Neither are we. There is nothing in our past that will overwhelm him. Absolutely nothing. Jesus invited her to come. She came. The same invitation stands for us today. Amen.
Thank you. I invite you to stand if you are able. Jealous for me, he loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
He is jealous for me.
And he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Yeah, he loves.
Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Benediction for today is two verses out of Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. Please bow with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Go in peace.